The contents of this podcast are for informational purposes only. None of the commentary in this podcast should be considered financial advice or legal advice. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual guests and should not be considered actionable, may be incorrect, and are subject to large amounts of uncertainty. Wired takes no responsibility for listeners taking action based on the contents of this podcast. Always do your own research. The presenters and guests of this podcast may have long or short positions in the assets discussed at the time of recording or at the time of podcast release, which may bias their view.
Hey everyone, welcome to Wire Talks, the Wire podcast where we discuss all things crypto. So whether you're a veteran or a crypto noob, we're all learning together. This is your host, Thomas Scaria. I still work here at Wire. I am joined by my co-host, Louis Aboud, head of research at Wire Capital. Louis, welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
I'm also joined by our fabulous guest today, David Bleznak, founder and CEO of Total. David, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Thomas.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's dive right into it. I'd love to hear all about yourself, how you got into crypto, and what you did prior.
Yeah, great. So, got into crypto around 2013 for the first time, buying Bitcoin. Really just got interested in the tech. New store of value was very interesting to me, this new asset class. I didn't really do much with it until Ethereum 2016, 2017, the ICO boom happened. I was actually working in the real estate industry with my family, my father and my brother, and our business was buying undervalued or turnaround real estate deals. And as that business dried up a bit in the Midwest, we looked at other asset classes and other types of businesses. We looked at a consumer products business and obviously crypto. That took hold of our capital and imagination fairly quickly. And through that process of managing a small portfolio relatively in crypto, I felt the pain points of administrating crypto assets and knew that decentralized exchanges, or I felt a strong conviction that decentralized exchanges were the proper way to trade cryptocurrencies. And so I studied decentralized exchanges. I knew I didn't have the technical ability to build my own DEX at the time, but came very, very familiar with actually using them from a user's perspective. And so our first tool at Total was a portfolio management solution using all decentralized exchanges in one product.
When you were studying decentralized exchanges, what period of time was that?
Yeah, so that was really the meat, the summer of 17. You remember 0x was working on the ICO, Kyber, Bancor was an interesting ICO. I remember that was like right in the middle of the summer, and it was like $200 some million, 5 minutes. It was a gas race who could participate. So those were fun times. I mean, it was all experimentation, similar to how things are going on right now, just in a different way.
Yeah, that amount of capital raise will definitely turn your eye and get you interested in the space, right?
100%. And even traditional finance people who didn't understand that time period was where it turned heads, as you're saying, mm-hmm. and made people realize, wait, there's something here.
I remember the gas race ICOs. I literally like wasted over $50 in gas, I think, trying to get a second allocation in the Kyber Network ICO.
Easy, $50. Yeah.
It was nuts. But I remember 0x actually did a really good job of distributing their ICO really widely. And there were some caps and stuff on the daily limits and whatnot, which I don't know. It actually worked out to some people's advantage. They didn't have to waste a ton of gas to get an allocation.
Yeah, 0x did an excellent job there. So I think Civic really did an excellent job with theirs as well. Vinnie Lingham, he set the standard for an ICO style, I think, because there was a waiting room. You were pinged right with your email to go back to the web. It was very, very convenient. So I was pretty impressed with that style.
Were you trading actively as you got into, you know, the decentralized exchange ecosystem?
Actively trading, I guess, yes, actively trading, but not quite as much as maybe most active fund managers. And part of that really, when I was administrating the fund prior to really getting into DEXs, was that it took so long to rebalance my portfolio. That's part of the pain point, is that when you're using several centralized exchanges, it could take me 6 hours to rebalance my portfolio, because the only way to administrate it at that time was an Excel spreadsheet and accounts on several exchanges. And I was, you know, doing the math myself to figure out how many to buy and sell on each platform. And
not much has changed.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. There are some more tools. There are some others. We're integrating with some great companies who are trying to solve that, like Blocks, like Shrimpy. There's some really good portfolio management solutions for centralized exchanges. Coinigy has been around for a long time. Love their product.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, none of those are really like kind of enterprise grade or professional tools, really. I mean, Coinigy is kind of okay, but, you know, I mean, there's Caspian and stuff, that's, you know, still, you know, the range of products out there for like a professional manager is pretty limited.
I would agree with that. Yeah, with that assessment, that it's still it's definitely limited, if any. And yeah, I think that the shift to decentralized exchanges, and I don't mean that just to our business and, you know, us making money, but I just mean in general, and it might be to several different types of solutions, whether they're OTC or other, I think we're going to see a shift to the decentralized exchange model.
Why do you think that? I mean, people have been predicting that. They thought 2018 would be the year of the DEX. Perhaps those expectations weren't met. What do you think caused that?
My personal opinion is that those expectations were completely irrational to begin with. And that's why, I mean, so if you just take that out of the equation and you look at rational expectations, I mean, I think it was Gates that said you can, you know, people always overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do at five. Mm. And that's really what's going on here. Everyone really wants this, right? So you have a lot of people who are, and these are very smart people. So they see it and they see the end goal, right? And they can do it all in their head, but building it and getting adoption and other people to participate, that takes a lot of time.
Also, in the traditional space, you're competing against a very high benchmark that's set by Bloomberg, essentially, right? In the portfolio management and even the trade execution space, it's if you are trying to be a professional manager and you've come from that background, these tools are going to disappoint initially, at least. But hopefully, I think we'll get there.
That's a great point. And that was part of our thesis when we started at Total, is like, you go to the traditional security space and there's what, thousands of tools to use? I mean, there's too many tools, right? It's over competitive. You can use all sorts of different tools to manage your securities. But in the crypto space, there's basically zero. So our thought was, even if we're not the only one, there's such white space in that opportunity that's there.
I'd love to dive deep into what Total is as a product. And I'll just paint a picture of the problem, at least how I envision the problem to be. The problem really is the DEX landscape itself, right? There are over 25 different decentralized exchanges out there, especially if you include ZeroX relayers. And the liquidity itself is just so fragmented. And to add a whole other degree of complexity to this problem, all the DEXs have various order matching models and degrees of decentralization. You know, just to throw out a few examples, AirSwap, you know, decentralized peer-to-peer communication, off-chain negotiation, right? On-chain settlement. Kyber Network has a whole different model. All the liquidity is kept on-chain. There's these reserve managers and all the executions also on-chain. ZeroX, you know, obviously kind of has the most mindshare, at least in the decentralized exchange space. It's an off-chain order book.
That was a really kind way to put it, mindshare. I like that. I like that. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, I need to navigate.
Zero transaction volume, 100% of the mindshare.
So that's the problem, right? Well, the landscape is like this. And how is Total tackling this problem?
Yeah, so this is we were lucky in a sense that the market developed. That was our thesis. We were right in that there was going to be fragmentation. There were a lot of solutions when these ICOs were coming about. So when we were studying them, Bancor, Kyber, ZeroX, these were all ideas. They weren't even, now that they're actually existing, that plays into Total's playbook, which is, we believe that more and more of these protocols, more and more of these types of solutions are going to come out. I mean, I'll give you another example, Uniswap. We love Uniswap, but it's a very, very similar approach to Bancor in terms of the way they're solving decentralized exchange. But because it works slightly differently, developers, wallets, any solution that needs token trading from one token to the other, they don't want to learn these new protocols and these new decentralized exchanges as they come out. And that's where really Total comes in, is we provide businesses and end users the ability to trade one token for the other without having to learn these new solutions like AirSwap and Kyber. They don't have to understand the protocol functionality or wrapping Ether. That's all handled in our contracts.
And your contracts they facilitate some sort of smart order routing and execution. How do you actually piece together all of this liquidity?
Yeah, I'll walk through it real slow, and then you guys can ask some questions on the architecture here. It's, so there's two pieces. There's the smart contracts, and then there's the off-chain piece. The users come to Total or one of our partners' platforms, and when they submit a transaction, they're submitting to our parent contract. And that parent contract then will direct the orders to the decentralized exchange with the best execution at that time. So our contracts acts as the counterparty then to the decentralized exchange's smart contract, and the assets flow atomically back to the user. And the reason I specify atomically is because Total is not, there's no counterparty risk to us holding on the funds or losing a user's funds. We don't act as a custodian or as a broker. We're just a software solution to allow users and businesses to access decentralized exchanges.
When you receive this order from one of your users and it's routed to your smart contract, how do you gauge the depth of the order book and assess slippage and try to really ascertain best execution before you actually execute?
Yeah, I tell you, but I have to kill you. that's our secret sauce. To be honest, that's really what we're charging for. Okay, so like there's real value. That's like, you know, it's cut and dry. It's how do you get this best execution? There's so much, as you said, there's so much fragmentation. There's all these different protocols, all these assets being traded across the board. So this comparison and normalizing this comparison between an order book solution, a smart contract solution, an algorithmic, a protocol like AirSwap. So the way it happens is that the order comes into our parent contract, and then we do the on-demand or the live price discovery with solutions like Kyber, AirSwap, the negotiations that happen. So basically, when we route to these different protocols, it's all solved in the back end by Total.
I see. There are a variety of products, I think, that are at least offered on your website. From what I can glean, there's an API, there's a mention of a crypto research terminal and a portfolio management tool. How do you prioritize between the suite of products?
Yeah, that's a great question. And if we've talked about right offline, there's just so much white space right now. There's so much opportunity in the crypto space. It's mind-boggling. I think more entrepreneurs should be jumping in and be competing for the opportunity here, because it's tremendous. But that's a really tough thing, prioritizing our roadmap and choosing what to build. There's a lot of critical components, and that's really why we're focused on the API and the business-to-business side. We believe right now the biggest opportunity for us as a company is providing our technology to other businesses that can spend the money on marketing costs, can build their communities. It's an infrastructure play, and that's really where we see the most lift at the moment.
So let's just clarify kind of what these different products are. So you started off with, you basically built a user interface that aggregates DEX liquidity, and you kind of interact with it the same way you would interact with the front end of any DEX. Although, the actual UI that you've used is a little bit different with the whole slider thing. But the API product, what kind of service are you offering to who? Who are the partners that are integrating it? And what's the kind of longer term play there?
Yeah, let me clarify a little bit of that. So we started, as I was ending my kind of description of how I got into crypto, we started with this B2C product that really acts as a portfolio management solution. Just with a few clicks, users can access all of the decentralized exchanges in the world. That has a clean user interface, is for an end user. We found that there was not a large enough market for DEXs when we started marketing that product. Mm. We believe that there's tens of thousands of users, but for us to spend thousands of dollars acquiring a new user was not economic. So we looked at other solutions. Where we found great success is in our B2B solution, the API, right? And we're offering that the users or our customers are groups like wallets, other portfolio management solutions, payments, all sorts of different companies that want, hedge funds, traders, arbitrage groups that want to exchange one token for another. They can access our tech without the interface.
So you're effectively providing the plumbing for a whole bunch of other companies that go out and acquire users, and they naturally have some, they want to trade crypto to crypto. For a wallet, doing it non-custodial is really ideal for a number of different reasons, but What is the current capability in terms of what you can trade, and how can you sort of expand that going forward?
Yeah, those are that's a good point to touch on. We don't touch securities. So right now we're only offering utility tokens on our platform on the Ethereum network. And we look to expand that in two ways. One, the natural expansion and the promotion of more tokens in the ecosystem. And two, by working with licensed groups like broker dealers to provide our tech so that they can trade things like securities.
Right. And in terms of, so that's all living on Ethereum. You've got, you know, obviously people will want to trade Bitcoin or assets that live on other chains. You know, we've got wrapped Bitcoin now, but how do you think about that? You know, do you sort of think about it mostly in terms of bringing other assets to Ethereum and to the ERC-20 standard, or, you know, is there kind of a cross-chain trading that you can do in a non-custodial way?
Yeah. So cross-chain solutions are still in their infancy. Crypto's in its infancy. So I just think that it's going to take some time for those to really be robust and there to be a cross-chain protocol or solution that everyone kind of agrees is the standard. And until then, we'll build our architecture on any smart contract platform that has an ecosystem that's thriving and is true to open finance.
And are there particular networks that you look at? I mean, we have a lot of projects that come through here and they're sort of primarily building on Ethereum, but they're always kind of considering what's going on in other chains. What are the other chains that look interesting?
Yeah. I mean, if I had to tell you another one, I'd say probably Neo is a platform that we would look at to build on next. They have a couple decentralized exchanges. They have a token ecosystem. We love that group. We love that platform. Big supporters of Neo have also obviously been supporters of us. And so, yeah, we would look to build on the decentralized exchanges there.
Interesting that.
Yeah, I would really appreciate an overview of the API. You mentioned several use cases, right? Wallets are using you guys, traders are using you guys, different hedge fund managers for portfolio management services, maybe. What are the different, you know, endpoints really of the API? And I'm just trying to imagine how this is pieced together for the different use cases.
Yeah, that's another great question, because I can phrase it without getting too technical. Really, when you're accessing the API, you're looking for certain information. You're asking to get prices. You're asking for best price for assets. I mean, these aren't the actual endpoint. I'm just saying when you're querying our API for information in the DEX space, and then we're providing you with data to include in a transaction in order to execute that on your own.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way to view an aggregated order book from all the different DEXs?
Yeah, so we've done this in our beta. You can go on there and see an aggregated order book. The problem with the aggregated order book is exactly the problem we were just describing 10, 15 minutes ago, in that not all these DEXs have an order book. In fact, most of the volume is done on DEXs that don't have an order book. So how do you do price discovery? How do you show that in a familiar way to people? All of this is stuff we're working on, and it's all work in progress.
These being like the Uniswaps and Kybas of the world.
Correct. AirSwap, yeah. All that. Yep.
Yep. And are orders ever split up and routed to different liquidity venues?
Yep. We can partially fill across venues. There's a lot of gotchas in the DEX space. You know, whether an order is completely collateralized or it's an off-chain order book, or that, you know, the blocks are going to expire in a certain amount of time, so you won't be able to fill that order. There's certain little ways that we have to, little tweaks we make in our backend to make sure that we give the best experience to the user.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of user experience, there are certain fees associated with certain DEXs, perhaps a ZeroX relayer, you might be paying, you know, some ZRX. Is that kind of all abstracted from the end user? They don't have to go in with the wallet loaded up with, you know, some token.
That's correct. So yeah, that's part of the pain point that we're solving. There are certain protocol level functionality that DEXs require, such as wrapping Ether or paying in the native token for the DEX. All of this is abstracted out for the user in the total products.
Mm-hmm. How do you pick which DEXs to add to the total, suite of DEXs?
That's another good one. We focus purely on couple main things. One is decentralization. So you have to be able to execute, the end user has to be the one to execute the order and keep control over their private keys. Additionally, it has to all be atomic. We can't rely on the a server that runs the decentralized exchange to provide the assets or match us with another party. We have to be able to allow the user to do that directly. So those are really, and then the last piece, sorry, is liquidity. So there has to be a certain threshold of liquidity of certain assets in order of us to spend the resources to integrate that market. But would love to get more decentralized exchanges, more markets integrated. So if you're working on a DEX and have liquidity, please ping us at total.com, T-O-T-L-E.com, and we'd love to integrate more markets.
Mm-hmm. Wait, there are DEXs that have liquidity?
Well, when you put enough of them together.
Yeah, indeed. So what, like, let's, if you just take your Total hat off for a second, you know, what are the particular DEX protocols that excite you? You know, what is kind of interesting in terms of the technology that's being brought to market there? You know, what, where do you see the kind of flaws in the current designs? Just like, what's your kind of view on the kind of ecosystem at the moment?
Yeah, I know we've talked a little bit, but I really like the Uniswap, call it experiment. I'm a big believer in the permissionless systems, obviously. And, you know, Uniswap, you can't take down. Even if the interface comes down, people can still use that those contracts. Mm-hmm. These types of things are, they're revolutionary. They're amazing. I mean, these things are going to change how people transfer value all around the world, especially in micropayments and in microtransactions. Those types of solutions like Uniswap are extremely useful in small transactions, small transfers. For bigger transactions, I think you're going to need a different protocol. It'll probably be matching two or three protocols for the ultimate solution. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll get some picked up on some sort of algorithmic for daily transactions, and then largers will probably be sort of OTC style, maybe order book style. But when you bring all these together, you can really do some serious trading, some serious have some serious liquidity. You asked me to take my Total hat off, so I it's hard for me to do, but I'm really excited about the Uniswap style.
Yeah.
Additionally, I think that we're going to get a decentralized order book, or I should say party matching solution built on top of something like 0x or a fork of 0x, which would be very nice as well, so that there's no central group for any regulatory body to go after.
Interesting. So which venue do you find Total executing the most volume through? Presumably, it's the venue with the most liquidity. Which is that?
Yeah, it's interesting. So it kind of falls similarly to what I was just describing. There's two different ways to look at this: volume and transactions. So the amount of transactions, right, is going through algorithmic solutions like Bancor. And that got very hot for a while in terms of the amount of transactions. Now that's shifting to groups like Uniswap. It's much more efficient. Mm-hmm. It actually costs 90% less gas to use Uniswap than to use Bancor, and the solutions are very similar. Then you look in terms of actually volume, the dollar amounts, you're looking at more over-the-counter style solutions like Kyber. We also see a significant amount of AirSwap, but more directed to Kyber, maybe because they have better pricing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interestingly, Bancor also has a token, so that's some friction that the user will have to experience. That's, I think, why Uniswap is kind of eating up that market.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It makes it, the algorithm for liquidity in Bancor is extremely complex due to the token. And without the token, it's much more efficient.
How much money did they raise, Bancor?
It was like $205 million or something.
So they raised $205 million and they've been beaten by a kid in his bedroom who
in
built
Brooklyn.
Uniswap. Like, that is just an amazing story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really funny.
Uniswap is terrific.
Yeah.
Great. What about listing different, I don't want to say listing tokens, but different tokens that you can procure on Total, right, using your API? How do you go about making that decision?
Yeah. So again, right at the moment, we're not a broker dealer. We're not a registered exchange or money service business. So we don't list tokens. We don't, you know, we're not making those calls because we're just a software tool for people to use. But and things like our interface, where you can go and test out our beta product, where there haven't been any fees or anything like that. We have a protocol or a procedure in place internally to decide what we believe to the best of our ability is and is not a security. And we're just going by guidance from our legal counsel and from the statements made by the regulatory bodies publicly. So that's pretty much it. As long as the community is, you know, we're not listing scams or fraudulent businesses. So, tokens. So that's pretty much it. As long as you're not a security and you're running a true community, we will list your token, and you can actually go on our site too and request that.
And do you see anybody out there that's kind of doing anything similar in terms of liquidity aggregation?
You're just starting to see some, I won't call them copies because they really don't even do what we do, but you're starting to see other solutions. A lot of these other solutions are showing prices, but they don't actually do order routing. Mm. It's like they'll say, hey, the best price is at Kyber, but then you still have to go to Kyber, use Kyber or whatnot, or hey, best price is at Bincor at the moment, or it's at Ether Delta or whatever it may be. Yeah, but it still requires the user to do work. Our tech also allows people to buy and sell multiple assets across multiple exchanges with one transaction. Mm-hmm. We don't really talk about that a lot because it's a complex concept, but it really, really makes the UX incredibly that much better than having to do one by one.
Yeah, I see one of the biggest challenges that, you know, some of the order book DEXs, especially 0x Relays, the challenges they've had is building liquidity and sort of getting market makers on board. If they do succeed at that and, you know, the books are quite more robust, you know, how do you see that kind of impacting both your business and like the technical strategy that you implement? Is it just like a business as usual thing? You know, are there sort of different approaches that you can take in terms of revenue model or whatever? Like how much do you think about that?
We've kind of let it happen naturally a bit. Mm-hmm. So we continue the conversations with the trading groups, but it's more of the same right now. And that's that without scaling implementations, it's very difficult for groups that are used to HFT and arbitrage to utilize DEXs because it's just the latency is very disruptive to their business. Mm-hmm. So our theory is as we work with these groups and give them a solution that they can utilize, okay, then by the time the scaling solutions are put into place, which we're hoping is the next 12 to 18 months. How many more times can we say that? How many more 12 or 18 months can we say that? No, we truly do believe that once those are implemented, that there will be a lot more adoption from that end.
Yeah. So you currently aggregate liquidity. We've started to see a few products come out that kind of aggregate the UX for different decentralized financial applications. You know, there are a few lending tools out there, Dharma, Compound, you know, you've got MakerDAO CDPs.
Love MakerDAO CDPs.
Yeah. How do you think about, I guess this is more relevant for the kind of the total front-end business as opposed to the API, although I guess the API could come into this, but how do you think about those different tools that are out there? Do they fit into your longer-term product vision?
I mean, sitting here like with like-minded, we're all able to see that there's opportunity in DeFi. Like, again, it's one of those things. It's like there's all these shiny objects where there's a million things we can work on in DeFi, and it's so exciting. But yes, I think that InstaDApp, all these cool interface solutions for these unreal decentralized finance protocols and useful tools is going to be, that's going to be what's going to allow people to utilize this for practical solutions in their everyday life. I could see people getting mortgages and health insurance fairly soon on things like on top of MakerDAO solutions and others.
And is that, you know, I guess one of the sort of key issues in this industry as a whole is that people build these open protocols and then really it's up to somebody else, a third party, to build a solution to really bring that to market. You know, you guys have a revenue model around taking fees that makes sense because, you know, if liquidity is fragmented and you're able to find better prices, you can charge a fee and the customer overall can still pay less.
When the semi power went out. Now I remember. Yeah, it was. Yes. So yeah, we charge a small fee. That's what we're charging for.
Yeah.
And the user wins as well because, you know, if there's slippage or there's different markets that are off by maybe 5-10%, by charging 50 basis points, everyone wins.
Yeah. And so when, you know, you've got guys like InstaDApp, you've got all these different front ends being built to access these protocols, you know, do you think they'll all have kind of a different revenue model for each application? Or do you see any kind of longer term trend around revenue models for these kind of businesses? Because really, these are the ones that have to go out and acquire customers and support customers. And, you know, that's a more kind of high touch business than just building a protocol and letting people do what they want with it.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of both. We see the, it's not really like, we don't see it as a losing proposition for wallets to spend money on marketing. We see it as a, is it a winning proposition? So, and they've already been doing this, right? So they're acquiring customers there, and because they want to get people to use their wallet. They weren't really thinking about native exchange functionality at the time. They had Shapeshift for a while. They're losing that. And for them, this is a revenue stream, right? So they can't afford to lose this. Mm-hmm. This is a way for them to charge a fee on top in a partnership with Total, right? To share revenue as they drive, users to using the exchange functionality.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to get into your positioning, right? Which first of all is an excellent position to be in. A lot of the orders I can envision are flowing through Total, and you see you're connecting to a lot of different venues. The partnership models are also, there's a lot of variety in that. Does that position enable you to, you know, go after the dream projects that you were talking about? Like, I think you're mentioning how the order matching functionality could be decentralized, or let's think about what Paradigm, is it Paradigm Market or Paradigm Network? I forget what it's called, but they're doing an abstraction layer on top of 0x to aggregate the liquidity there. Does the Total position help you tackle a larger problem? And are you thinking about going up market like that?
Yeah. All really, 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 really intriguing and stimulating problems. I think it was really our experience, personally, my experience too with other ventures and living through 17 and 18 of the crypto space, that really makes us take an extremely pragmatic approach. We really want to stay true to the ethos and want everything to be decentralized, obviously, by our product. But at the same time, there needs to be a real practical, there needs to be value to what we're creating today or we won't survive. And so, yes, it's exciting to create shared liquidity protocols and all of these things. But we have to solve the problems that exist today in order to exist as a company tomorrow to do those things. I don't think that that's really, personally, I don't think that the fragmented liquidity layer there is something that can be solved in the next 6 months to 12 months. I don't think that there's any money that can be made there. So yeah, I mean, like, I'm just being, you know, frank with you. If we had $100 million and we could say, here's $10 million to do R&D on liquidity sharing protocols, like, for sure, we don't have that.
Yeah. I'd also love to hear a little bit more about the different partnership models that you have out there. Can you give us an overview of the different partnership models? And I have some follow-on questions to that.
Yeah. So we're still working, and you'll see our new website that'll be coming out in the next 2 days. We're still working out the productization. Basically, we're still learning our customers. So these different segments that we're really learning about are payments, trading, and other. We have this payment pathway, okay? I mean, that's a huge, huge problem in the space. And that's basically, if you want to accept one token and I participate in some ICO and I have a huge bag holder of another token, we'll call it token B and you want token A. When I go to your ecosystem, want to participate, there's not a seamless, familiar way for me to just participate without having some friction. And now with Total, you can do that. Then there's the traders who are looking for arbitrage across markets. And obviously, everybody knows how they're using our platform. And then the third other, which is really these wallets, sort of one-off different integrations. Really, wallets is the lowest hanging fruit there for other. But any other platform that wants to trade one token for another. And you'll see these different products described on our website coming out in the next 48 hours or so.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to iterate on your product to service those different partnership models? And if so, what improvements and features are you rolling out next?
Yeah, that's right on. And we're building what people want, right? So like we there's a new company that comes to us and says, hey, we really would like your functionality for X. Doesn't really fit. It's a square peg round hole. We're building the solution custom because at the end of the day, there's going to be three more groups behind them that want the same thing. It's just that we're learning that product. So I'll give you one that was pretty obvious to our customers and not obvious to us. And that was swap functionality, right? We built our whole product around balancing a portfolio at the first go around, and which is great. We have that solution that works terrific for certain groups that are doing portfolio management, can order batch, but we didn't have a traditional swap functionality, which we do now in our API is live, but that was something we built out.
How do you guys generate revenue currently? You mentioned some sort of fee that's taken from order placement. What's the exact fee, and are there other avenues for generating revenue?
Yeah, so currently we charge 50 basis points for a transaction, and that's built into our contract. So when the contract for any partner is launched, they can offer or they can include a fee on top of Total's fee. And so partners are also generating income. So if you're a wallet company or another B2C company that needs exchange functionality, you can actually add a fee in addition to Total's fee so that you can generate revenue.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think about the kind of hybrid DEXs like Binance DEX or Ethernex? You know, what do you think about those solutions and integrating with them?
Yeah, so from a technical standpoint, there's really no difference from us integrating with something like IDEX as it is with something like Bitrex. And what I mean by that is that it's centralized in terms of the authority of order matching. So you're relying on IDEX, the organization, to match you with a counterparty when you participate on their exchange. So by relying on them, we can't mix and match orders with other venues that are permissionless or trustless. It just doesn't work because you can't trust one party in the transaction if there's seven. So that's the truth from a technical perspective. I mean, there's a lot of volume on these exchanges. We would love to find a way, and we're working very closely with the ETHFINEX group on a completely trustless integration.
Awesome.
How do you envision the DEX ecosystem to play out? I think how I kind of think about this is when I was at Citi, orders are obviously getting routed to different exchanges like NASDAQ and NYSE and whatever. But if you're the end client, you're never interfacing with the actual exchange, right? You're probably interfacing with the end, the bank or, your broker or something like that, which I think I would think is more of like what the wallets are right now. How do you envision the user's journey to kind of evolve in the DeFi ecosystem?
Oh, yeah. So I see... we're going with my opinion now on the crystal ball stuff here. I like it. My opinion is that you're going to see different use cases, different products. I have different wallets that I like for different things, different styles. There's hot wallets. There's these warm wallets, as they're called, groups like Portis and Vaults. And, then there's cold storage. So I just see different applications for different use cases. And that's just kind of how I see it evolving. People using different blockchains for different reasons, whether it's for games or for ownership or for, and you're going to need a slightly different app. You can't do everything in one place because they're different types of users. If you're in Ukraine and you're managing assets day to day, you're going to use a different app than you are in Florida for whatever it may be, managing assets. So it's really, I think you're going to see a lot of hyper localization with these different applications.
Mm-hmm. So what's the Total team look like nowadays? What's the kind of corporate history of the company, and how would you like to sort of push that forward over the next couple of years?
Yeah, thanks for asking that, because it's definitely a hot topic for us. We want to expand our community. We want to really actually bring in people as owners of Total, as utility token owners, if we ever decide to issue one, as advocates, as participants in decentralized finance. And these are all things we're doing by participating in the ecosystem through events. We are hosting our own events for developers. We provide resources for them and for other individuals who want to build on top of Total. Just being advocates for decentralized finance is something that's really important to us, and we'll be offering, hopefully sometime in the near future, an offering where unaccredited and accredited investors can participate in investing in our company side by side.
Mm-hmm. And is there, so how many people on the team at the moment?
I'm sorry, yeah, you asked that. There's 12 individuals on the team right at the moment. We're all around the world. We have our CTO is in Israel. We have developers on both coasts of the U.S. We have our product lead in L.A. I'm up here in San Francisco with you guys, usually in Detroit area. We're pretty spread out.
Right. And, obviously you guys are interacting with all these different DEX protocols day to day. You must have some idea on how they could be improved. Have you thought much about doing your own thing in the space?
Without giving away too much, I did talk about something that was really exciting when you asked me about the tech for DEXs specifically. And, we do have a solution for a completely permissionless order book, completely permissionless DEX that we're working on. And hopefully it's something we'll circle back on at the end of this year, maybe next year, because of just allocation of resources.
Yeah, makes sense.
How do you think about that in terms of, you know, perhaps stepping on the toes of some of your partners that rely on you to, you know, be the order routing system?
Yeah, no, but the reality of that is that these are all permissionless systems. So there's not really that much of a difference from listing on one or the other, and the arbitrage across these DEXs occurs naturally. So we don't look to step on anyone's toes. We look to provide more liquidity for the ecosystem, and we promote our partners. And so we don't see any problem with competition. Our goal is not to take away other decentralized exchange protocols, but to supplement them and to work with them for their success and ours.
Is there an ideal... So I'm just thinking kind of out loud about this. You're partnering with a lot of different wallets, and even in our seat here, we're seeing the wallets kind of evolve into financial services firms, really, that, you know, someone would carry in their pocket, right? The whole thesis is we're non-custodial. Users actually get to own their assets. Let's provide a UI to market all these different financial services. Is there an ideal partner for you on the lending side? Are there other partners perhaps on the staking side that you think really highly of, that you come across that are excellent to work with?
I do. Yeah. I can't leave out any friends though from the shout outs, right? No, I'm just kidding. No, there's a lot of great groups in the lending space and other DeFi space. I'll just be, you know, from my honest opinion, I love the makers model. Like, I really do believe that there's going to be a separation of custodianship of assets and services. And Maker is doing an excellent job of positioning themselves as a provider of these services without being an intermediary and an authoritative figure. So I really believe in that. However, there's other groups that are doing really cool things as well. Just as cool. Celsius has a really great lending platform. Salt is providing real value to the space. I mean, access to fiat in a tax-free way for high net worth individuals and institutions, it's an incredible solution that's really adding value and liquidity. So across the board, Blockboard. I love Blockboard. Vitaly is doing very similar to what we're doing for decentralized exchanges. They're doing for lending protocols. They have aggregated all of the lending protocols into a really easy to use platform. So, look, we love this stuff. I would love to see the more use of all of those things. So it's not just one, but I'm impressed, to be honest, with those groups specifically their ability to stay focused.
Mm-hmm. How do you envision the wallets will kind of eat up the ecosystem? How do you envision they actually go to market to various, you know, unbanked regions? Like, how are you actually going to go to Vietnam or India and market your wallet there and tap into those citizens? Do you think of this as like a marketing play, or is it more of a regulatory hurdle?
I think it's both, man. I think you're hitting on a really, really, really big focal point for a lot of groups. I mean, if you can crack that code, get into these different markets. I mean, marketing to people in India is going to be different than marketing to people in South America. So it's a very, very time consuming thing. And we want to provide the exchange functionality for the winners who are able to go and do that, and for ourselves.
Yeah. Excellent. What's the hiring roadmap look like? Who are you looking to hire these days?
Yeah, we're looking for like-minded individuals who want to promote decentralized finance and really understand the benefit of this technology and believe in decentralized exchanges. So if that fits your type, we'd love to hear from you.
Great. Any final questions, Louis?
I think I'm sorted.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much.
Tired you out, Louis?
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This is an excellent podcast, and we're excited to work with Wire and all big things coming this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Where can people get in touch with you or read about what you're working on in the future?
Yeah, so if you're more interested in learning about us and staying up to date on future investment opportunities in our company and just in general, you can go to total.com/invest. That's TOTLE.com/invest.
Awesome. Thanks again, David.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. To learn more about Total, check out our show notes included in your podcast. And remember to subscribe to get the latest episodes. If you have any questions or comments, reach out to us on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or the Wire blog, whatever works for you. If you like this episode, share it with your friends and colleagues. Thanks again for listening.